Hello, this is Glenn Krause, CEO and founder of Core CDI with another podcast, one of many that are upcoming. So here's what I'm going to be talking about today or discussing. There's much talk about this in assessing inpatient hospital billing for Medicare beneficiaries. Work plan that was just released last week outlining the OIG and the CMS concern with identified problems with upcoding and hospital billing. So in essence, they're concerned about the practice of miscoding or upcoding or overcoding to increase payment under the MS-DRG system. So this work plan is going to be rolled out in a two-part study, excuse me, to assess inpatient hospital billing. The first part will analyze the Medicare billing claims data. So they want to find out what the landscape looks like in terms of hospital billing, which is pretty easy for them to determine based on their capabilities of data analytics and data mining through the MedPAR billing information. And then once they find out how this billing has changed over time through this analysis and identify any patterns of billing that are varied among hospitals, they will focus on those hospitals with the aberrant patterns and target those hospitals and or specific codes for medical review. Determine the extent to which the hospital billed incorrect codes. So there's really two ways of looking at it. The first is, previously, before CDI actually was rolled out and really took hold in the hospital community, there was a lot of undercoding due to insufficient and just poor documentation of CCs and MCCs and just general undercoding. Now the pendulum has swung to some extent, and while CDI programs are well-versed and well-vested in trying to improve the quality of the documentation of accuracy of diagnosis that occasion the admission and also any comorbid conditions that impact the patient's management by the doctor, there are instances where I've seen in firsthand, not anecdotal, but I have seen firsthand how some of the CDI programs have become overly aggressive. And I really blame that or carry that back to the fact that we're using reimbursement as in case mix index as a measure of success of most programs. Now, while I believe that all programs must be self-sufficient and generate revenue because improper payment includes undercoding and overcoding, and I really want to see hospitals get paid for the work performed and the resources consumed, it has to be done in an honest, ethical, professional manner. So I want to give you some ideas of why I believe it's a great time right now to be thinking about transforming our CDI programs, and not so much thinking about transforming the program, but actually taking action to move CDI in the right direction in terms of what we should be doing. So here's a few thoughts to consider. Number one is the fact that we still unrelentlessly focus on capturing CCs and MCCs. And what really should be the message or the mission of our CDI programs is to actually focus on the quality and completeness and communication of patient care. I've spoken in a previous podcast about what constitutes quality and complete quality focus on patient care. In other words, what brought the patient into the hospital? What did it look like? What's wrong with the patient? How did it manifest? All these elements we find in the history of present illness. So let me kind of outline how to transform your CDI program from a reimbursement-based, quality-focused PSI capture hacks and so forth into a true program that moves the needle in terms of improving the quality and value and communication of patient care. Excuse me. The first element I want to stress is we need to be recognizing that the record stands for a communication tool, not a billing tool, but a communication tool. Second, as CDI specialists, it's incumbent upon us to be able to identify, define and identify any deficiencies or insufficiencies in the communication and patient care, even before we arrive at looking at a diagnosis. And the reason why I say that is because if you think about logically the process of communication and patient care, it starts with the reason why the patient comes to the hospital. What brought the patient to the ER? What led the physician or the attending or the hospitalist to believe the patient needed to be admitted for a hospital level, for what's needed and required for hospital level of care? If we don't get paid for the care that's provided, first of all, that detracts from our revenue cycle. And second of all, it doesn't matter what CC or MCC or DRG optimization that we do. A increase in our case mix index for a case that was not paid doesn't drop down to the bottom line. So first, CDIs should take the initiative to learn how to review a record in terms of identifying insufficiencies and poor documentation, as I mentioned. This is not something that can be spoon-fed. You must do it on your own. Read the CMS's E&M guidelines, and they have quite a few YouTube videos on the importance of documentation. It was considered complete and accurate documentation. I posted several on the Core CDI website. If you go to the resource page, you'll see a host of information about this. Secondly, once we have our core skill sets, knowledge, and core competencies, and how to review a record to identify any insufficiencies, then we need to be thinking about a strategy to work with clinicians and let them know that we are knowledgeable and have the wherewithal to partner with them to actually improve the quality and completeness of documentation. To the extent that we can get away from the reimbursement focus as our main primary mission and think of the reimbursement as a byproduct of solid and complete communication of patient care, we will not necessarily be in the target of this moving forward for this OIG review of upcoding or what they call miss or overcoding to increase payment. We want the record to speak for itself in terms of accuracy, completeness, why the patient was admitted, what was the care provided and why, how did the doctor arrive at a diagnosis, what's the plan of care, and how is the patient progressing from the time of admission until the time of discharge, what is the stability of the patient at the time of discharge, and to what extent does the patient, if they're discharged to home health or SNF or any inpatient rehab, why is it that the patient, what are the needs of the patient to explain the medical necessity for the transfer of care to a post-acute care setting? Physicians are being targeted for becoming more of a financial steward, particularly with the MIS program and the cost measures that's being obviously measured this year to the extent they can trace back what physicians are efficient in terms of treating like diagnosis from their counterparts. Where the patient is discharged obviously has a relevance to the cost of care that's attributable to the physician who saw the patient in the hospital at least 60% of the time for the E&Ms. So that's one way of looking at documentation. If you look at this whole scheme of this OIG work plan, the concern that the OIG has is a valid concern. Maybe it's overreacting in terms of seeing increases in case mix and in diagnosis because of, as I mentioned earlier, undercoding, but we still want to be attuned to the fact that what's the best route or route for documentation improvement is to secure the clinical facts, information, context, and contextually correct information right from the beginning. The immediate return on investment for that outlook of CDI is the ability to actually substantiate the care provided, number one, and number two, justify the medical necessity for admission, and thirdly, allow the case managers and the UR to better better do their job of reviewing records, having the knowledge and the information in the chart to allow for effective carrying out of their duties in terms of working with the payer, third-party payers, their case managers, and medical directors to ensure that we have the optimal level of care with the optimal payment for the right time, at the right time, with the right reason, with the right documentation. And I spoke briefly in a previous podcast about how CDI can take the lead in partnering, collaborating, and synergistically working with UR and case management to drive down any of these concurrent medical necessity denials and level of care adverse determinations. On the other hand, by having solid and complete documentation from the beginning, we also stand a much better chance of overturning any appeals and at least avoiding some of these unnecessary, costly medical necessity denials and DRG downcodes. I've talked to many of my physician colleagues and CDI specialists, particularly those that are involved in appealing denials and third-party payer efforts at reducing their medical loss ratio and increasing their profits are taking hold as they dispute or refute a lot of the diagnoses that the physicians are documenting through the that we're asking through the query process. Diagnoses like acute encephalopathy, acute metabolic encephalopathy, acute respiratory failure, sepsis, pneumonia, acute exacerbation of chronic CHF, systolic or diastolic. We're not going to stop the onslaught of the insurance companies and their contractors looking for opportunities to be able to not pay fairly for reimbursement for care provided to their covered beneficiaries, but at least we can stand a better chance and prepare ourselves for this continuing onslaught by securing complete and accurate documentation right from the beginning. So in essence, what I'm asking people to consider, or at least CDI professionals and others in the revenue cycle, is to look at this assessing inpatient hospital billing for Medicare beneficiaries, OIG work plan addition, to look at it in two different ways or two limelights. The first is, I believe there is instances of over-worry by the OIG and CMS about accuracy of our coding based on the fact that historically, over time, we've improved our documentation to the extent we can more accurately assign legitimate ICD-10 codes in the past for care provided. On the other hand, we also need to look at the risk involved in our CDI programs from the compliance standpoint and ensure that we're not going over the deep end, we're not pushing the envelope, and that we have the documentation necessary to support the communication of care. When we focus on the communication of care, we then focus on doing the right thing and getting the right documentation for the right reason with the right clinical judgment and medical decision-making by the physician. The patient benefits, the physician benefits, the hospital benefits. It's a win-win situation. So please take a look at your program. Establish a vision that inspires physicians, create a mission that best serves the patient in support of the integrity of the revenue cycle, and begin a new journey in CDI. This concludes the podcast. Look forward to continually recording additional podcasts that can be thought-provocative and actually instill some motivation in CDI people to continually update their programs. Thank you for listening.